This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We continue Comedy Week with Phyllis Diller, one of the first and only women comic headliners of her generation. Her persona as a crazed housewife, her jokes about her husband Fang, and her many rounds of plastic surgery didn't exactly set the stage for the feminist revolution, but she paved the way for other women comics. Here's a performance from 1961.
And here's what happens. A woman hits 40, going 90 miles an hour. And boy, that's a crack-up. One morning, she gets up, she looks in the mirror, she punches the panic button. She says, I gotta be younger by lunch! And she'll go through a whole list of idiotic ideas like renting smaller children. But 9 out of 10 will rush off to a plastic surgeon. Or go under the knife, as we say at the clinic. And are you ready for the big fallacy? They all expect to come out looking like Tinkerbell. So what if you do? What are you going to do about the rest of it? Gravity's been pulling on it for 40 years. And I hate that word gravity. It reminds me of a little personal tragedy. 2 weeks ago, my Playtex living bra died of starvation.
Phyllis Diller got a late start in show business. She was a 37-year-old mother of three when she started to perform. In 1986, I asked her how she'd come out on stage in her persona as a crazed housewife.
Describe the way you will typically come out for a performance.
Like a maniac. Dressed silly, with silly hair, funny little boots, little gloves. All clowns wear gloves. Even Mickey Mouse. And I wear gloves, the little teeny short gloves, and a little short dress, and that's it. It's a funny persona. And this woman is an idiot, you know. She's a harridan. She comes out. She's telling everybody what's wrong with everything, you know. Please.
So you designed your own image. You designed your own clothes, too? Did you decide what to wear on stage?
Well, you see, I used to dress pretty square, pretty straight. The first few years, I wore actual... One year, I wore Chanel suits. Another year, I wore a Balmain suit. And they were satin and shiny. And I realized I had to wear something shapeless or I couldn't make jokes about my body.
Because your body was too nice?
That's right. I hate to tell you that. So then I invented shapelessness, and to this day I wear shapeless things so that I can tell them anything I want about my body.
What was your self-image like then? Because you'd get on stage and talk about how ugly you were and how, you know, your husband wouldn't come near you and all these jokes about that. And in fact, you probably had a terrific figure. You're probably, you know, a good-looking woman, but you'd made yourself into a crazy woman for the performance. So what was your self-image like deep down inside?
I was so busy carving out a career that I didn't have much of a problem with it. I mean, I wasn't a beauty. I was never a beauty. A beauty is sort of a way of life. A beauty is sort of the way you act. Beauties are soft and they talk a certain way. Beauties don't talk like I talk. You know, I'm into the nitty-gritty. I'm into editing. See, my mother, when the phone rang, she picked it up and said, "State your business." So you see, I was not brought up to be a beauty.
In your routines, you do pretty rapid fire.
Well, 12 laughs a minute is as fast as anyone can talk.
How do you build it up? Is there a model that you have about how jokes should build and when the capper should come on?
Oh yes, the final word must be the joke word, must be the operative word. The final word should end in an explosive consonant, like pop, or puck or kook. You understand? There are mellifluous words. Mellifluous is one of them. It flows. It's pretty, you know. It's one of those lovely words like lavender. You want something strong and pop at the end, like a shot. For years and years and years, people likened my delivery to machine gun fire.
Is there a rule of thumb you use about how many you can tell in a row like that before changing the subject?
Yes.
A sense of rhythm about that?
You find that out by doing them. You have a whole... You want to do as many as you can on one subject because you see it's economy. You have one setup and then all the tag, 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 tag. You don't have to repeat the setup because every time you do a tag, it has to have a setup. But if you can have one setup and then as many as possible lines, but there is a limit to how many they will take on one character.
Can you give an example of the setup and a few tags?
Well, she's so fat that. That's your setup. And then you've got all these tags, like sa-da-ba-da-dum, ba-da-da-doom, de-doom-doom-doom-doom. It's music.
You always strike me as being the forerunner of say, Joan Rivers, you know, that like one of Joan Rivers' models for a few reasons. First of all, because you're two of the few women who've made it to your stature in the world of comedy, but also because of your self-deprecating kind of humor, which she really has gotten into. Do you see any connection? Do you know her well?
Yes, she's my dear friend, and I don't know any other way for a female comic to get on. They've all, you have to beef about something because comedy is tragedy revisited. That's my definition of comedy. People say, what is comedy? Okay, if you come out and you're lovely and there's no comedy. So self-deprecation and denigration is par for the course. Works.
Do you think it's different for women than for men? Do you think that women more so have to have that kind of humor?
They need a little more help than men do because there's a double standard. Men can talk raunchy without being pilloried. Women are it's the Madonna complex, the Madonna syndrome. They're the mothers, the softies. And when a woman is going to be hard enough and aggressive enough to do comedy, she better have some saving graces. Like, look, I'm humble. I don't think I'm pretty.
Did you have to do that? I mean, do you feel like you had to do that to get in or something?
No. Uh-huh. Remember, I didn't know anything about what I was
right,
doing.
Right, okay. I'm just,
if I hear a laugh, it stays in. It's very simple. Like, if the bucket doesn't leak, don't repair it.
You recently had plastic surgery, well, several times.
All the time.
All the time? what have you had?
Oh, have you got an hour? I've had everything. I've had 3 facelifts. The latest thing, I had that eyeliner put on, permanent tattoo. I had a chemical peel. I had a breast reduction. I had a tummy tuck. There's only one procedure I haven't had, and that's liposuction surgery or lipectomy, where they use a vacuum thing that was invented in Paris to suck out unwanted fat from places on your body where exercise doesn't affect.
Why did you have all the plastic surgery?
I was ugly and beginning to look old.
Mm-hmm. Well,
old and wrinkled and hangy.
Uh-huh.
We're talking droop. Droop city.
It's interesting because you'd made your career on being crazy looking, on putting yourself down, on being the frumpy housewife.
True.
So now, I mean, you look rather glamorous.
I hope so. But you see, I'm a single woman and I have a private life. My private life is very important to me. Very important. That's my real life. My life on stage is not real. I am a person. I am real. And I want to look good.
If you had the perfect nose and lips and breasts and everything when you were getting started, do you think you would have gone into comedy?
Well, I did have the perfect breasts, the perfect figure, and my nose was crooked. Let me think. My teeth were crooked. Well, comedy is within. It has nothing to do with your appearance. My appearance helped because it was dysplastic. It helped. And then I made it help more by getting crazier and learning to be theatrical and things like that.
So you have 2 personas, as you always did, one offstage and one onstage. And how are you dressing onstage now?
Crazy. But chic. I mean, it's satire of what is chic right now. That's the way I dress.
Are you still talking about Fang?
Oh, honey, he's so big in my act. He's one of my big numbers.
Did you like wife jokes when how do you feel about them now?
I think they're wonderful.
I
love jokes. I love comedy. I worked with male comics who said, you've heard this is a classic because more than one comic I've heard say it, is where he's married to the woman who's so neat, She's always, everything has to be perfect. And, men don't like that. The joke that I loved, when he got up to go to the toilet one night, came back, the bed was made. Have you heard that joke?
No.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Can't you see this compulsive woman? Yeah, making this man's life miserable.
The problem I've always had with wife jokes is that they always seem to be about the whole genre of women. It's because they were never spouse jokes, because until you came along, there were no women telling jokes. So the joke was always on the woman and never on the man. So instead of being jokes about married life or having this lifelong companion, it was always jokes about women, jokes about dames. And in that sense, it seemed to put down the whole gender instead of... You know, talking about the tribulations of a long-lasting relationship that men or women would have. Do you know
True.
What I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. But I did some good work, didn't I?
Yes.
I almost have a cause.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, it's been such fun, Terry. I really love your show.
Thanks for being here.
Phyllis Diller recorded in 1986.